still sounds muffled. There's still the muffled issue, but I can hear everybody now. Yeah, I mean, I can still hear the hiss, but that just may be. But the blend is much better. If we could get the crispness back, we'd be in business. So you work on that. That we can't do that. That's out of our hands. song? Which one do you want to sing? It is?
Yeah.
It is.
Continuing to work on the Christmas.
Yeah, it is. What do you want to, which one do you want to do?
Chris.
Huh? Which would be better, a faster or slower for you?
Hey, you all may be seated. We're continuing our study in Hebrews, and this week we're actually taking a look at the entire chapter 8. And as we're looking at this, we are going to hear some familiar themes that we've heard before about Jesus being our high priest who sits at the right hand of God. But as we take a look at the rest of this area of Scripture, we're going to be once again talking about the old covenant and the new covenant and why it was necessary for that new covenant to come and the reason why the old covenant failed. And so we're going to read the scripture right now, and then I'll pray once again, and then we'll have two more praise songs, a video, and then we'll hit the scripture this morning. All right? So Hebrews 8, 1 through 13. Now, the point in what we are saying is this. We have such a high priest, one who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister in the holy places, in the true tent that the Lord set up, not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer gifts and sacrifices. Thus, it is necessary for this priest also to have something to offer. Now, if he were on earth, he would not be a priest at all, since there are priests who offer gifts according to the law. They serve a copy and shadow of heavenly things. For when Moses was about to erect the tent, he was instructed by God, saying, "See that you make everything according to the pattern that was shown you on the mountain. But as it is, Christ has obtained a ministry that is much more excellent than the old, as the covenant he mediates is better, since it is enacted on better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion to look for a second. For he finds fault with them when he says, 'Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will establish a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. For they did not continue in my covenant. So I showed no concern for them, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach each one his neighbor or each one his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall know, or they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more." In speaking of a new covenant, he makes the first one obsolete. And what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. Let's pray. Father, once again, I just come to you this morning. Father, get me out of the way. Father, allow your spirit to move in and amongst your people, including myself. We ask all these things in your name. Amen. Let's stand up as we continue to praise our God this morning. Anybody curling up your toes? Ouch. I was listening to that one. Love God, love people. We as a church are supposed to reach out with love. We are supposed to put ourselves second, God first. God first. Family. And the others fall really, really close in there. We need to remember that when we're out. We're going to hit on some of that today. Love God, love people. Those of y'all that are familiar with contemporary Christian music right now, that's a big song right now. The guy's name that did it, just he was Danny Gokey, is the one who did this song. He was on American Idol, and actually tried to go with secular music for a while, and then God got a hold of him. And actually, his secular music career was not being all that successful. And God got hold of him, and he and God had a little wrestling match. And Danny finally says, "I'll follow what you have for me." And Danny has some very, very powerful songs, if you will listen to the words there for you. Let's go ahead. Let's start with our scripture today. We're going to start with the first four verses this morning, because they really, they already hit on some things that we have spent a great deal of time on. And I'm going to hit on a few things in here, but we're going to move on more towards the second half of this scripture, all right? So verses 1 through 4. Now the point in what we are saying is this. We have such a high priest, one who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven. A minister in the holy places, in the true tent that the Lord set up, not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer gifts and sacrifices. Thus, it is necessary for this priest also to have something to offer. Now, if he were here on earth, he would not be a priest at all, since there are priests who offer gifts according to the law. Christ is our high priest. When he went back and ascended into heaven, his Father appointed him as our high priest. That would be no, like no other. We've studied that before in this. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time on it. But one of the things that I really liked about these verses is that Christ is sitting in the tent, the true tent that was built by his Father, not by man. If you look at the temple that was built here on earth, the only person that dwelled in that thing the entire time in the Holy of Holies was God. There was nobody else that dwelt there. The high priest went in once a year to offer a sacrifice for all the sins that Israel had committed that year, goes in, offers the sacrifices, and then he comes out to do it all over again next year. God is the only one who stayed there. Jesus has been established as our high priest by God. Our high priest paid the debt for our sins so that we could be in fellowship with our God through the blood that he offered on the Christ, on the cross. Through the sacrifice of our high priest, the new covenant was established above the old. Let's move on to verse 5. They serve a copy and shadow of the heavenly things. For when Moses was about to erect the tent, he was instructed by God, saying, "See that you make everything according to the pattern that was shown you on the mountain." So the old covenant was established by God with Moses. Moses was given exact specifications on how the Israelites were supposed to follow to build the tent, all the things that were going to be involved in offering sacrifices and worship to God, to Yahweh. We're talking everything. We're talking from the table that the sacrifices were offered on. We're talking about the bowls that the blood was poured into. We're talking about the instruments that were used for the sacrifices. We're talking about the materials that actually went into the building of the temple. We're talking about the robes and everything that the priests wore and all the stuff that was put into that. All of that was very, very specifically drawn out to Moses and put into Scripture, and the Israelites were to follow that to a T. Everything. The old covenant couldn't compare with what God was getting ready to establish with the new covenant. The things which man used to build the tent were material things. They have a lifespan. They are eventually going to wear out. They will not stand the test of time. You all who are on buildings and grounds here at this church, you know, it's hard to believe that the original building is over 50 years old. I can remember when that building was being built. We're actually sitting in the front yard of the original building, okay? It was a great place for us kids to have a great time during choir practice and all that going on out here. Where you go back to the section where the children are currently at, through those double doors, there was a porch that used to sit there. That was the main entrance. And I remember Dad bringing me down here while they were building this church, and he and I had a can of pop. I don't know what kind it was, but we had a can of pop. And, of course, they hadn't filled or built the porch yet. And, of course, they were filling it with stuff so that it wouldn't be totally filled with concrete. And I remember Dad, as we finished our pop, and Dad said, just throw the can in the porch, in that where the porch is going to be. What? You want me to throw my empty can? My trash is going into that. I can't do that. This is the sanctuary. Or not the sanctuary, it's the church. I followed Dad, and I did what I was supposed to. But it was something that was going to be used. But my point is, you guys that are on buildings and grounds, you know that there is something constantly that's needing fixed around this building. Now, and we've got a lot of projects going on this summer, and it's through your all's faithfulness, through your giving and the offering and all that, that we've been able to conquer a lot of things over this past year. Where a lot of churches have seen having to cut back on stuff, we've actually been able to get some stuff done around here. We've got a leak that's going to be repaired, hopefully before Ida hits, okay? We've got work that's getting ready to be done out in the parking lot that's going to fix where we always have that water. And hopefully soon after that, depending on how God blesses, hopefully we'll be able to pave that thing and get her straightened up to where it needs to be. That's something that's needed done for a very, very long time. We're working on getting the fire alarm system. If you go back into the old section of the building, you're going to see wires hanging. You will eventually see them in here so that they can get this thing replaced and get it up to specs and what it needs to be. We've got some stuff going on with our sprinkler system that they're going to fix as well. All these projects are going on, but what my point is, eventually this building will be beyond repair. Will I ever see it? No. Will the kids that are in Pray Station ever see it? I hope not. But buildings eventually get to where you can't do anything with them. Think about some of the, y'all that are my age and all that, think about some of the school buildings that are no longer around in Wood County. Some of the ones that were here for many, many years. Park Elementary School that sat where the Wendy's is now on 7th Street was a neat old building. My one that I just thought was a travesty that went down was when they tore down the city building downtown Parkersburg. That building was beautiful. However, buildings will have a lifespan. The true tent that is talked about in verse 2 has no lifespan. It is made by the materials that our God created in heaven. Those materials are eternal. They have, I'd like to tell you they have an eternal lifespan, but isn't that an oxymoron? Because if it's eternal, it doesn't have a lifespan. But in our finite minds, one of these days we're going to be able to see that. Its colors and what's involved in it will never fade. They're never going to show the wear and tear that our earthly places of worship are going to show. 7. For if that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion to look for a second. The fault. What was the fault of the old covenant? What was the problem with it? We know that God, when He gives things, they're perfect. And He gave us the law. He gave the Moses to law. And He told the Israelites what they were supposed to do in order to be able to be forgiven of their sins, in order to be able to worship Him and come before Him. You think about this and the laws that God gave to Moses. If man had the wisdom that those laws, that if man were going to come up with an ordered society, more than likely those laws would mirror what were given to us in the Ten Commandments. The fault wasn't in the law. The fault was in man's sinful nature. The fault was in looking out for ourselves. The fault, just like that video was talking about, just switching all the things around, making them opposite of what Christ said. That's man. That's man left to his own devices. We were at fault. This covenant was based on works. I think through the old covenant and we see man's desperate need for a Savior. If you think through that and why that covenant was given, it was to show who we really were at our base. We needed something that was based on the grace, mercy, and love that God would end up establishing in that second covenant. What we're going to see through this offering of the new covenant is exactly that. And it was made for all people, just not one group. And understand, God's original intention was not for Israel to keep their religion to themselves. They were eventually supposed to go out and share that with other people. But what did they do? We're the chosen race. We're God's chosen people. The rest of you, sorry about your luck. We needed to have the new covenant because we were incapable of keeping the laws of the first. We're going to discuss this a little bit later on in the sermon. The next section of scripture that we're going to read from is actually a quote from Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34. We're going to do the first two verses in Hebrews, and then we'll talk about these points here. So, 8 and 9. For He finds fault with them when He says, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will establish a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. For they did not continue in my covenant, and so I showed no concern for them, declares the Lord." Israel and Judah both left the covenant of God that He made, that He established with them when they left Egypt. Now, did it happen immediately? No. If you go through Kings, 1 and 2 Kings, we did that once again when I worked. You know, you always hear me talk about when I worked with the youth group up here and all this. I taught Sunday school class when I was working with them. And we were doing what was called back then in the Sunday school material was the Bible book series. And you did 1 Kings and 2 Kings. I can summarize those for you. Good king, bad king, bad king. Good king, bad king, bad king, bad king, bad king. Finally, enough bad kings. Oops, you're done. 2 Kings, same thing. Good king, bad king, bad king, bad king, good king, bad king, bad king. Oops, eventually you're done. Mark has talked about this before. It was a slow fade. God wasn't serious about this. We're not going to do that part of it anymore. God really didn't mean that. We're not going to do that anymore. Oh, we can interpret that this way now, and this is what it really means. And eventually, you're so far away from the truth of Scripture that you're no longer following Scripture anymore. You have rewritten the Scripture to fit you instead of letting the Scripture change you to fit what God wants you to be. So it got to the point where both of the nations were overrun by their enemies because they no longer followed the laws the Lord had given them. They were too busy doing their own thing. They were too busy either worshiping their own gods and you know, the gods of other nations. They were too busy, once again, just not paying attention. Now, however, if you take a look at the temple, the priests are still in the temple doing their stuff. And there's probably still a lot of people that show up for the annual sacrifice that's going to be made in the Holy of Holies. Why? To take care of my sins. If you looked at the temple, you would think that everything was right, because they were going through those things and thought that they were making God happy. They felt they were appeasing God. However, it was what was going on in their daily lives and the way that they lived. For them, it was once a year. For us, it would be our daily lives, what happens outside of these four walls. Understand, they knew the law. They had it memorized. They knew all that. They knew what had come. You know, some of them. Now, some of them had totally fallen away. But understand, that's all it meant to them. It didn't mean anything else to them other than, I need to know these things. Had no influence on their lives. Just something you memorized and then just went about and you did your own thing. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds and write them on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. The new covenant. When Christ came to the earth, he established the new covenant. He took the laws from the old covenant and he summarized them with one word. Love. Love. Think about the law. If we love God and love people, we'll be following the law that was established in the Old Testament under the Old Covenant. Jesus spent his life on earth demonstrating his love for his heavenly Father and love for others. Because of that, these laws won't simply be in our minds either if we're following the example that he put before us and we love others. They will be in our hearts. They will guide us instead of just being something we are aware of and can quote. The simple truth is, you can have all the scripture memorized you want, but until that scripture changes your life and you live by it, it means nothing. It is simply a sentence or two. That's all it is. Remember, just a little while ago, I talked about how Jesus boiled the law down to love of God and love of others. 1 Corinthians 13:1. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Until we have love for God, love for others, and truly demonstrate these things, we can talk all the scripture we want. We can talk about religion until we're blue in the face, but we might as well have a one-man band strapped behind us on our back and be walking down the thing and it just totally knock out anything that we're saying. It means nothing. All our words will mean nothing. Just read 13:1. Let's continue with this section of scripture. However, I really want you to listen. And I want you to listen beyond your ears. I want this to penetrate. I'm not going to just simply read through this thing quickly to get to an end. I want you to think about what this is saying in the rest of chapter 13 here. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but not have love, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now, faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Love God. Love people. Through the demonstration of our love towards God and the love of our brothers and sisters in Christ and the love that we can express to those who need to come to the knowledge of the love of their heavenly Father and what He has for them, we will show the world that we are His people and that the Lord is our God. Simply put, put love above everything else. Hebrews 8:11. And they shall not teach each one his neighbor and each one his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. As I was reading this scripture, in reading a few of the commentaries, it struck me. I have the Holy Spirit up here. When did the Holy Spirit come? When did the Holy Spirit make His arrival on earth? Well, let's take a look at Luke 24:49. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Now, in other translations, where it says the promise of my Father, that's translated as the Holy Spirit within that scripture. Acts 1:6-8. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. In both of these scripture passages, Christ is telling them the Holy Spirit is coming, but He's not here yet. He's not on the scene. But when He does, things are going to make a radical change for the better in what they are going to be preaching and what they are going to be sharing. There was no Holy Spirit dwelling among the people until the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down and arrived that day. It shook the whole thing up. You think about what happened at Pentecost and how many people were saved and what happened that day. Until the coming of the Holy Spirit, man was very dependent, really, on each other. Now, God appointed prophets, but who were the prophets? They were men. All right? When God sent His Son and the Holy Spirit are part of Him. They are the Trinity. They are the Trinity. Everything that had happened before this was what God had spoken to men. And so man was dependent on each other. These prophets were men that God chose to use and who were willing to be used. Now, granted, some of them took a little bit of convincing that God was wanting to use them, and He had to, you know, like get them around to where they realized what was going on. But still, God used them. Think about how integral the Holy Spirit is a part of who we are and our worship and what we do and the way that we conduct ourselves. The Holy Spirit is here among us now. We are promised that where two or three are gathered, He will be present. We just need to be sensitive to what He is doing. We as Christians will not need to teach each other about who God is and the love that God has for us, because we recognize that when we accept the gift that was given to us on the cross. We don't need to be convinced that God loves us. He does. He made the ultimate sacrifice for us through His Son. And from the greatest to the least, they will know this as Christians. From knowing this basic truth, though, we all need to grow in our faith and trust in the Lord, in the Scripture He has given us to do and to lead our lives. And why would we do this? Out of our love for God. If we truly love each other, think about this. You all who are married, you met your spouse, and so you all go out on a first date, and after that first date, you say, okay, let's go get married, and you get married the next weekend. That's the way she all works. You spent time together. You got to know each other. You got to know, we'll put it this way. You got to know each other's beauty marks, and you got to know each other's scars. Why would we do that? If we truly love God, then we want to know more about Him. We want to learn more about Him. We're going to read in the book that He has given us. We will also know the law. We won't just have it memorized. We will allow it to help shape who we are and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives. As I've said before, it is one thing to have the head knowledge of the law. Listen, there were some of those folks that were sort of... You've read in the Bible that it says that, you know, if I didn't commit murder, but boy, I sure have looked at somebody and wished that something would happen to them. What's Scripture say? I've murdered that person in my mind. Folks, we might know the law, but it's another thing to really practice it and mean it and follow it. It is that having the heart knowledge and allowing it to work in your life and allowing it to change you. What will this show the outside world? We, His people, His family, we, the adopted of Christ, will know the Lord, and they will see that. They'll see the difference. We will not walk the same. We will not live the same lives as people who do not know Christ. We will not react the same ways when a hurricane is barreling down. Oh yeah, we might leave to be protected, but in the whole thing, we've got a promise that what happens, God's got us. God's got this whole thing. Hebrews 8:12. For I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. Will we be perfect when we try to love God and love other people? Absolutely not. I will tell you right now that there are times when people say things and I will look at them. I loved having a mask over my face because they really couldn't see what my initial reaction was. I'm really having to temper myself right now without the masks in school. Okay, it's like I've got to really put a cork on this thing because it used to have a bunch of facial expressions that the kid had no idea what I was thinking. Really? Anyway, we're not going to be perfect. But that verse, what a promise and assurance we have in that verse. The love our Father demonstrated to us by offering His Son as our sacrifice for our sins on the cross takes care of the way I am going to mess things up. And I will do that daily. My best shot, there's going to be at least one mess up in my day. Love God. Love people. Why? Because He loved us this much and is still demonstrating that love to us. In speaking of a new covenant, He makes the first one obsolete. And what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. The old covenant has been taken over by the new. The new covenant fulfilled the old. The old hasn't gone away. It's still there. It's a part of this new covenant. But the great thing of the new covenant is that it is no longer based on us. It is based on the sacrifice that was made for us on the cross. Point blank, that's all it is. I don't have to do anything except say, God, I believe in the sacrifice You made for me. And it is based on His work, not mine. It's no longer us. It's Him. And it's solely based on that. I'm going to tell you something. One of the things that we'll do as Christians is sometimes we'll have the cross up here, and we'll have the law here. And understand, the law, like I said, is still part of it. But we'll try to allow that law to start creeping in. You understand what I'm saying? And we start trying to base other salvations on what we see them. Listen, we're all walking our own walk. And we're all at different places in our walks. And for me to hold somebody accountable for where I'm at in my walk and say, you best be here and you best be doing that. And God's working on them. God has been working on me through my salvation since I was in second grade. We all aren't there. And we're not going to be there. And for me to lambast somebody because they're not where I'm at. There were people in the temple that they called Pharisees. And Jesus called them hypocrites. Because listen, I'm too busy looking at them and trying to find the speck in their eye when I've got the log in mine. Folks, when you find yourself doing that, it's time for you to take an inventory of where you fall. Because the simple truth is, we've talked about this before, we all started at the same place. We were all sinners who didn't deserve salvation. But God gave it to us because He loved us that much. So where are you today? Where are you? Don't get hung up on the old covenant and try to hold people to that law. We need to love God and love people. So today, if you find that maybe your love for God maybe isn't where it should be, maybe you've placed that on a back shelf and I'll get to it. Maybe you're not getting to know Him like you need to. Maybe you're not spending that time with Him each day, each morning. Maybe you're, you know, there are so many ways that you can demonstrate that, personal and corporately. We've got some smaller groups that y'all can be a part of. I announced the men's Bible study. I announced the women's. We have a BSF group that meets here on Tuesday nights. They'll be starting up September 14th. That's for the ladies. Small groups back here that meet at 9 o'clock. Folks, these are ways that you can know more about the God that we serve. But maybe there are some in here that have never accepted the love that was offered to them on the cross and that sacrifice that was made for them. If you haven't, today's the day that you can accept that gift. If you find yourself struggling with other people, let me tell you something. We all struggle. But if you're allowing that struggle to win, then that's the problem. Love God. Love people. And as a result of that, they'll see the Christ in us. And we'll be His witnesses wherever He places us. It's time for our invitation. The main thing that I ask you to do is be obedient to whatever the Holy Spirit is telling you today. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for today. We thank You for Your word. Father, Your love, oh my goodness. Father, as we sang before, that love that was demonstrated to us, there are no words. We try to express it, but Lord, there is no way that we can fully express our thanks and praise to You for what You have done for us on the cross. Father, help us to realize that that price that was paid, Father, we can come to You and, Father, be followers of Christ. Father, being healed of our sin, Father, that our sin would go away. Father, that You will take our sins and remember them no more because of the gift of Your Son on the cross, the shedding of blood that took care of our sins once and for all. Father, if there's someone here today that needs to accept that gift, I pray that today would be the day. Father, for those who need to walk closer to You, maybe not expressing or showing that love to You, I pray that today would be the day that they would turn that around as well. And Father, just start stepping closer to You. And Father, as we look at how we can love others in our own community, or Lord, where You have placed us, as we work in our community, Father, help us to just be able to do that. And Father, help us to be able to express that love to them and that they be able to see that and the difference that You have made in our lives. Father, most of all, I just pray for whatever needs are here this morning. If You are calling folks to come down and pray at the altar, that they would do that. Father, I pray that You would also just be amongst Your people here right now, Father, in that we would just be obedient to what You're wanting us to do. So, Father, bless this next time that we're in. And, Father, once again, we're thankful. We are so thankful. We ask all these things in Your name. Amen. If you would stand, please.
To me, but I long to rest. Good morning. That's some good feedback up here. Wow. All right. Cool. As you can see, I am your deacon on call this week. If you guys need anything at all, prayer or anything, give me a call on that number, and or call or even text me on that number. So let's go ahead and pray for the offering. Father, we thank you again for this day. We humbly thank you, Father, for your love and for your grace. Father, we thank you for the message this morning, and Father, we all have many prayer requests, Lord, for family, for friends, for this nation, and Father, we lift all those up to you and just pray that you would just touch every situation. And Father, we do pray for this offering, Lord, that you just bless the gift, the giver, and